We heard the angels announced to the shepherds that the birth of our Lord Jesus was good news of great joy for all people. And that's just what I hope I can share with you this morning. Good news of great joy. Of great joy. That you really will leave here this morning with a new, with a refreshed, with a deep joy that Jesus Christ has come. And I want to draw your attention in particular to a small but significant event connected to the birth of the Lord. And it's one that speaks about joy, about the joy that knowing Jesus can give. In the passage we've heard from Luke's Gospel, it says that Mary, the mother of the Lord, after the angel Gabriel announces the incarnation, she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. We don't know exactly how close that relationship was, distant cousins or something like that, or perhaps closer, but Elizabeth will go on to be the mother of John the Baptist. And at that time, she too is pregnant with John. And as Mary comes into their home and she greets Elizabeth, it says twice, so first in verse 41, that the baby John, who's about 6 months old, he leapt in her womb. And then it says it again in verse 44. Elizabeth says, "As soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Now the key words there to really ponder are "for joy." Elizabeth says she knows that John was leaping for joy because the sound of the Saviour's mother meant the Saviour was near. Now, even just on the surface, this is a really beautiful moment, isn't it? You've got two relatives, both just found out that they're going to have children. I mean, that's a wonderful, happy thing. And any time a mother is able to feel the baby moving, or you put the hand there and feel a kick, or the baby has hiccups and things, those are just wonderful, joyful things. Every child, and in the womb, is a miracle, a gift from God, a joy to celebrate. Every child is made in the image of God, is a precious life to protect and to celebrate. And it's amazing that modern science is learning all the time, isn't it? That even babies in the womb are hearing and picking up on things happening outside and around them far more than we used to think. Even in the very, very earliest times, they'll know the mother's mood. They know mothers' and fathers' voices. But the Bible's telling us that there was something even more special happening here. Something more than just the joy of pregnancy, the joy of John moving. This is here in the Word of God because God was doing something. And there's something important for us to learn from this. John's leaping in the womb was actually a sign from God. A sign that was pointing to the Savior. I hope to convince you of that. But also this for joy in the womb, it tells us something very important about the Holy Spirit. You notice how many times this passage speaks about the Holy Spirit and how he gives us joy. This is how to have joy. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing I just want to show you is this scripture teaches us the real source of joy is to know Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's where to find real joy. So I first just want to convince you really that this leaping of John in the womb for joy is really a sign from God. It's more than just a baby reacting to a friendly voice. But the Holy Spirit was at work. Because, of course, gathered around the birth of the Lord Jesus, there's a whole series of unusual and miraculous signs. And they all point to Jesus as Savior of the world. The angels appear. as a star, guides the wise men. Mary herself, she's a virgin. It's impossible for her to have a child, not for God. There's a work of creation, of new life out of nothing, when Jesus comes. And all of these signs are telling you this was a birth unlike any other, because this is God's son. This is God become man to save us. Now, the scripture makes clear in the context in this Gospel of Luke, John's joy in the womb is one of these signs. If you've got a Bible, look back with me to the beginning of chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel. And the story begins with John's father, Zacharias. And he's a priest, and he's in God's temple in Jerusalem, and he's bringing an offering. And an angel appears to him and announces they're going to have a son. And this son, John, is going to be a miracle. As it says in verse 18, Zacharias and Elizabeth were old, never been able to have children. Presumably there's some kind of medical issue, they can't have children, but God's going to grant them and bless them and give them a child. And he's going to be the last and greatest of the prophets. Really the last of the Old Testament prophets, who's going to prepare the way for the Savior himself. So John's got this special place in history. Well, look what it says in verse 15. The angel promises John will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Even in the womb, John is anointed by God, empowered by God. I mean, this is an extraordinary, unusual thing. He's ordained from before birth to be the prophet pointing to the Savior. So when you find those words about his mother's womb repeated, you could almost say, even then, John is starting as he means to go on. And he's starting to fulfill as the Holy Spirit works through him. This mission of his whole life is to point to Jesus. It's in the Holy Spirit. He's rejoicing in Jesus. It's very interesting. If you look at the very end of John's life and ministry, and that's recorded in John's Gospel in chapter 4. John says, so this is many, many years later when the Savior begins his work. John says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. That's what he says at the end. Now, isn't that a striking parallel to what he does here at the beginning? He hears the voice. He knows the presence of the Savior. And he's filled with joy. That's what's going on here. And then also to convince you, we've got Elizabeth's testimony that God brought this about as a sign. Look at verse 41. It says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is his mother. And now that phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit, when you see that in the Bible, it means the Holy Spirit is working through somebody to speak God's word, to deliver a message from God. The Spirit is within them and working through them. And what does she say in the Spirit, verse 44? That John is leaping for joy because the Savior is near. So the word of God always explains the works of God. That's the pattern. So you see what I mean when I say this isn't just a baby turning around. This is John, filled with the Holy Spirit, even as a six-month-old in the womb, praising that the Saviour's came. Now really, the point that I want to make to you is, I think probably most people know about the signs of the Christmas story. People who never come to a church will know about angels, a manger, the star. But if you don't realize that they're all signs pointing you to something, you've really missed the whole point. It would be a bit like finding a signpost pointing you to go to London and going in the opposite direction. If you just think Christmas is just all about focusing on the stories of these signs and don't come to what they're pointing you to, you've really missed everything. Like John in the womb, They're all telling you, look at this one, Jesus Christ, God's Son. God's Son, the Saviour. And so certainly, this leaping for joy was a sign. But then that brings us to the second thing. Because this actually tells us something really important about the Holy Spirit of God. It teaches us that joy is a gift from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives a gift of joy to God's people. You know, that's part of his gracious work, to inspire joy in our hearts. Look how many times, if you let your eye run down the passage, it speaks about the Spirit filling people around the time of Christ's birth. And in each case, Luke tells us, they're filled with joy and they rejoice. The Spirit fills them with joy. But the whole Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit doing this. You know, there's that famous passage that tells us the fruits of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, what will he grow? Well, it says love, joy, peace, and all the others. Or think, for an example, how the letter to the Romans is all summed up at the end. The kingdom of God is not about rules, about eating or drinking, but about peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Or if you know the book of Acts and the record of the early church, the persecuted, the poor, all kinds of things come against them. But the book of Acts tells you they're filled with joy and they're rejoicing. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what the Spirit does. He fills God's people with joy. There are so many things in life that make you sad. There's so much darkness in the world, it can seem like such a cold, empty place sometimes. But what we're being told here is that the Holy Spirit can give you a gift of joy that transcends our circumstances, that doesn't depend on earthly things. When it's a gift, you give a gift to somebody because they don't have it. You don't give them a gift of something they've already got. And in our often joyless, barren world, the Spirit comes to give us this happiness from God. It is a heavenly joy. Have you ever thought God himself is joyful? It does say that in Scripture. God himself is joyful. And all that God is, he is. He's filled with joy. He is pure, perfect happiness. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit eternally delighting in each other as one. And God actually made you, which is why you are here on this earth, so that you could know him and experience that joy, share in that joy, enter into that joy of knowing this most awesome, amazing, wonderful God. And it is the Spirit who brings that joy to us. And so it's not dependent on anything in this world. What's happening to you? The breakdown of your body. It's a gift he can fill your heart with. Let me put it this way. If he can fill a 6-month-long baby in the womb with joy, a baby that doesn't yet really fully understand, he can certainly fill our empty souls with the joy of God. Christianity is supernatural. It's powerful. It's heart-changing. So how does he do it? Well, as you see in this passage, he does it by pointing you to Jesus. By saying, look at Jesus. And as you know Jesus, that joy comes. There's an Anglican theologian called J.I. Packer, and he uses a really beautiful picture. He says, you know how so many of our old church buildings now, they light them up at night with spotlights. And they can really make them look really beautiful. Some of the old stone churches in the villages all around us, lit up at night, they look beautiful. And he says that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does. He shines light on Jesus and says, look, I'm lighting up to you. Look how amazing Jesus is. How full of grace how full of glory. And as your eyes are turned away from all the distractions of this world, all the miseries of this world, and you're looking and say, wow, that light comes into our dark hearts and our dark minds that are often feeling hopeless, that are often taken up with worries and fears, and his bright light turns us and says, no, 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 look at Jesus. What hope there is, what love there is, this salvation that we can have. Of course, he often mostly uses God's word to do that. Now, he actually does that in this passage with Mary and Elizabeth. If you look from verse 46 onwards, Mary rejoices and she praises God. Now, actually, what she says is almost identical to a prayer that another lady, Hannah, prayed centuries earlier, and it's recorded in the book of 1 Samuel, when she was given a miraculous child. It's also very similar to the words of Psalm 113, which we're going to sing together joyfully in a minute. And it's almost like the Spirit, because Mary knew those words, takes those words and is shining on them in her heart, and she's filled with the joy of them. And so God will use his word and point you to Jesus. That's what he's doing right now this morning. He's telling you, you need to look at Jesus. More than that, you can also say he's bringing the very presence of Jesus to us. How much did John understand in the womb? Not much. But the very presence of Jesus fills with joy, even if you don't always understand. Let me put it this way. Aren't there some people who they come in and they light up a room? Some people just have that kind of bright countenance, a joy in their eyes, a personality. They come in and everything just suddenly feels brighter. I know there's many like that in this church we're blessed with. Well, in a far, far greater way, when Jesus is around, that's what it's like. The brightness of God's glory, the brightness of joy just fills. And this is what the Spirit does. You say, I want to know God. I want to know that it's real. I want to feel it. I want to really know Jesus for myself. Well, then you should come to God's word. You should ask the Holy Spirit, show me. Open my eyes. And you will see and you will have joy. He'll give you a gift of joy. And I want to say again, especially when life is rubbish, when everything's turned to ash, when there is sickness, when there is suffering, you can still look to God and he can give you heavenly joy in knowing Jesus. And so come, look to Jesus this morning. And so that brings me really to the final point, and briefly. All of this is telling us the true source of joy is in knowing Jesus. You know, we live in this age of entertainment, of false promises, of technology always distracting us. Because deep, deep down, we're all looking for real joy. Looking for something for real happiness and peace, real fulfillment. And all of those things are distracting you. Some of them are lies, pulling you away from where to find real joy. It's in knowing Jesus. It says in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The way to have joy is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me try to just very simply break that down into three things that you can do. Receive the Savior. Rest on the Savior. Rejoice in the Savior. If you want to have joy, and all of the blessings really come from this first one, receive the Savior. You can do it right now this morning. In your heart, believe in the Lord Jesus. Dare to believe. Even though I know the world laughs and mocks and thinks it's all nonsense, you dare to believe it's true. God has sent his Son. He is the Savior of the world. He was crucified for us to take away our sin, and he has been resurrected, and he is the Lord of all. Accept him and receive him as your Savior. And that's the way to receive eternal life. Faith is simply that. I believe. And you open your heart to him. I mean, the Bible uses many pictures to describe faith. It says it's like opening a door to him. It's like feeding on him, drinking from him. It's like reaching out to touch him. It's like softening your heart to him. It's even like putting a yoke around you to submit to him. But in all these things, it's saying simply, receive him. It's the heart of faith. You want to have joy. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus Christ is God's Son and Savior. Receive him. But then the second thing is learn to rest on the Savior. The salvation that he gives, forgiving our sins and giving us eternal life after death. That salvation is a free, gracious gift from God that he gives to people who don't deserve it, who've sinned against him, whose lives are messed up. It is a free gift that he gives. It's not something you've got to earn and achieve by being a good enough person. That's the big mistake everybody makes about being a Christian. They think it's for the good people. Those who've got their lives all figured up and sorted out, and the good people, oh yeah, they'll get together. No. We're all messed up sinners. It is a free gift of grace. We'll never be good enough. If it was about being good enough, none of us would get to heaven. But Jesus makes the way. Jesus bestows it upon us. He died in our place and is risen in our place. And something you've got to learn if you're going to be a Christian is to rest on this. There's something hardwired in us. There's a self-righteousness. There's a blindness that we don't like to admit. We are all that helpless without him. But you've got to accept that. He's the only way. And you are utterly dependent on him. That's resting on him. You give up on yourself, but you trust him. When you rest on him, there's a huge burden falls off your shoulders. That he gives this full salvation. And you can be free from the burdens of guilt. Free from the burdens of never being good enough. You can have joy. You can be confident of this salvation because it all depends on him. It's a bit like you come across this special chair. And you see a sign that says, millions of people have sat on this chair before you. Well, I could definitely take all their weight. But for some reason, you're nervous. Maybe I'll be the first. I'm too heavy. It can't take my weight. And you gingerly, you hover over the chair, not putting all your weight on it. And then eventually, you begin to realize, wow, this is really rock solid. Maybe you just put, one side on first, and then eventually you learn to relax and rest and really sit fully upon it. Now, some Christians lack joy because they haven't learnt yet to really fully rest on Christ. They kind of hover just over him, still relying on themselves a little bit. Holding on, trusting Christ some of the time. But to have great joy, Christian, rest everything upon him. That he did it at the cross for millions and billions of us. Rest everything upon him. Put all your worries, your life, your fears, everything upon him. You're safe in his hands. Rest on the Savior. Have joy. Didn't he say, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's a wonderful old translation there. The Geneva Bible says, and I will give you ease. Ease. Rest from your burdens and sins. But then the third thing. To have joy is rejoice. The Bible commands us, rejoice always. Now, to rejoice and have joy are not quite the same things. To rejoice is something you do. It's an action. You can practice. To rejoice means praise God because these things are true. And whether you feel them or not sometimes doesn't alter that they're true. And so rejoice and pray and praise God, because that's the only logical thing to do, because these things are true. And make it a habit and a pattern of your life to rejoice always, because Jesus doesn't change. His salvation doesn't change. His love doesn't change. And so look at the truth and rejoice. And sure enough, the gift of joy then grows. With all my heart, I hope you will have joy today. Joy in the Savior. That the Holy Spirit will give you that gift. That you'll follow the signs that point you to Jesus. And that you'll receive him. And you'll rest on him. And you'll rejoice in him. May God fill you with joy. Let us pray. We thank you, loving Father, for the gift of your Son. Your indescribable gift, your inexhaustible gift of love. We pray, Lord, if any heart here today is yet uncertain, that you would please give them the gift of the Holy Spirit's joy, that you would please open their eyes to see the Savior, that even this very moment, Lord, they would open their hearts to receive him. And we pray, Lord, that your life-giving power would come into them and give them joy. And help us all, Lord, to rest and to rejoice in the Savior. And we pray, Lord, that all the glory, all the praise would be unto you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.